Well, I told you, I think the first week of our series, that my grandma had re-gifted to me the day before. And I talked to her on the phone this week, and she didn't even try to hide it. It was so cute. She's like, "Did you get that stuff that Rhonda had given to me that I sent to you guys?" I'm like, "Yeah, Grandma, we got it. Thanks." It was some good stuff. It was some strange stuff, but it was good stuff. There was a Seahawks blanket in it, so that made up for the tissue boxes that were wrapped. So today we've talked, the first week we talked about regifting our time. The second week we talked about regifting our talent. And today we're talking about regifting our treasure. And the first thing we need to remember when we're talking about any of these things is that it all belongs to God. Everything in the world, everything that you own, is not really your own. It is what belongs to the Lord, belongs to God. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Now, we've talked before when we talk about treasure about giving our first fruits to the Lord, giving the first part of whatever we have to God. And I want to read you a quick story that was found on the Campus Crusade for Christ by Bill Bright. One afternoon, Grandpa Clark strode into his house, pockets bulging with treats for his grandchildren. As he settled into his creaking rocker, the children clamored around him with expectant faces, each pushing and shoving to be the first to see what Grandpa had brought them. The gray-haired man dug deep into his pockets and pulled out a fistful of candy, handing each child a favorite treat. When he finished, he leaned back in his rocker with a smile of contentment to watch them tear at their wrappings. On his left, two jealous brothers argued over whose flavors of lifesavers tasted better. Another child sat at his feet munching a candy bar, when suddenly a tiny red-haired sweetheart patted her grandpa on the arm. Concern furrowed her brow. "Would you like some of my M&Ms, Grandpa?" she asked with sad, shy eyes. "You don't have anything." Grandpa Clark peered down at his only granddaughter and grinned. Gently he gathered her dainty form into his lap. "Why, you haven't even opened your candy," he observed. She stared into his eyes with a frank expression. "Because I want you to have the first one." "Why, thank you. I think I will," he smiled, carefully opening her little package. With relish, he removed a couple of colored candies and popped them into his mouth. Then he wrapped his arms tightly around her, engulfing her happy face. God wants our first fruits, not because he doesn't have his own candy, but because he wants us to share back with him and to share with other people. Now, how we handle our money, how we handle our time, how we handle our treasure and talent reveals what we believe about God and reveals what we believe about his provision for us. Luke says this, "If you are faithful in little things," and this is Jesus speaking, "you will be faithful in larger ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? No one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." We can't choose. We have to choose God or money, one of the two. We can't serve both. And Scripture is very clear about that. In Matthew, it says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasure in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." If money is our main motivator and money is what we're striving for, we got to get more, 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 then that's where our heart's going to be. That's what we're going to be thinking about. That's what we're going to be waking up every morning thinking, "Wow, how can I get more money?" Or, "How can I live on the little money that I have?" Where instead, if we put our treasure in heaven and focus on what God wants us to do, our attitude changes then, because we're not so focused about the money. We're focused on, "God, how are you going to provide for me today?" Sometimes it's difficult to look at your bank account and say, Well, that was short-lived, wasn't it? But when we wake up and say, you know what, God, I'm trusting you today. And maybe it is paycheck to paycheck that we have to trust. Maybe it's different for every person in this room, I'm sure. But when we put our treasure in things that rust and things that destroy, the things that will be destroyed, then we can't have true peace. Because we have to have that relationship with God who's going to provide for us, and that trust that God's going to provide for us. Jesus continues and said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink, or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Have you ever felt really good when you're worrying? And you're like, gosh, I wish I could worry more often. This is awesome. It's going to be a new ride at Disneyland, the worry line. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And then verse 34 really nails it home. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. When we worry about how God's going to provide for us, when we worry about every little thing, we're saying that we trust more in our own devices, in our own attitudes, in our own financial stability, when really our trust needs to be putting into God and what God has called us to do. We have to believe that God's going to take care of us just as he takes care of the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees. Sorry, I couldn't help myself there. Number three is, we are to be generous. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Now, we're going to talk about tithing for a minute. Hold on, strap on. Okay, tithing, number four, is the minimum, but we are called to give generously. Tithing is considered the minimum. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. But you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So I think what Jesus is saying in this is that tithing is something that we are to be doing as a New Testament church. He's affirming that, I believe. And the tithe was simply 10% of your income, or 10% of your offering, 10% of what the Lord had given you, would go back to the Levites and go back into worship and go back to the Lord. Okay? And so Jesus says to these Pharisees that they're tithing even the little tiniest things, even these herbs and spices out of their gardens. But because they're so focused on that, they're missing the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that we're supposed to love. We're supposed to treat others correctly and to love one another. They're so focused on tithing that little tiny percent that they're not loving one another. And God says that that's not right either. So we're to tithe, yes, but we're not supposed to be legalistic about it. And that's where the New Testament law of generosity comes in. Where tithing, I believe, is where we start at 10% of what we get. And some of you may have just checked out right there when I say start at 10%. But I believe that's what Scripture teaches, that we start with 10%. But if we look at how the apostles lived in the early church, it says, all believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. So, in the early church, they weren't going around saying, Have you given your 10% today? Have you given 7%? Have you given 5%? No, they were looking at the needs that they had and saying, we need to give to the church, give to the apostles, so that we can take care of the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what? Sometimes we're going to be down on the needy end. We're going to have times in our lives when we're going to be needing the benefits of being on the needy end, of being in the church. Sometimes that happens. We've all had times in our lives. That's why we have a fund called the Macedonian Fund here at Hayes Christian Church. It's a fund that's specifically set aside to help those in our congregation who, for whatever reason, need a helping hand at that time. But you know what? There's other times when we're doing okay, and we need to be the ones helping those people. But what's interesting in Scripture is it doesn't say that if you're in the needy, then you don't have to give. We're still to be giving generously even with what little we have. But when we're doing well, then we still need to be giving generously, so we're going to be giving more than what maybe we would have been giving had we been in a world of hurt. Does that make sense? Kind of. One of the reasons that the tithe was established was to help us tangibly worship the Lord. That's number 5. It says you must set aside a tithe of your crops, 1/10 of all the crops you harvest each year. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, and eat it there in his presence. This applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn males of your flocks and herds. Doing this will teach you always to fear the Lord your God. So why don't we give of our treasure? Why don't we re-gift our treasure? Any ideas? I came up with at least 3 reasons. One of the reasons are bills. How many of you have bills? Yes? Okay. Bills. Okay. The Midwest Energy is not going to say, oh, you are giving to the church. Okay, we'll let your bill slide. Right? That's not going to happen. That'd be great, right? Okay. I'm going to give more to my church this month, and then we're just going to use candles. You know? Okay. Bills happen. All right. The other thing that we have is debt. Okay. Most people in America have debt of some sort or another. Some people are out of debt, and some people got out of debt earlier in their marriage, and they're sharing that testimony, and I'm pointing right at Stephen and Carlin, who are setting themselves up for a great future because they don't have that debt to start with. Okay? The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey is a good book to start with if you want some ideas of how to get out of debt. He's got a thing called the debt snowball, and it really helps you get out of debt quickly. But one of the things that he says to do is he has these things set up into baby steps. And the first baby step in his program is to set aside $1,000 for an emergency fund. Because the third reason that we have money problems is Murphy. Murphy's Law, right? If it's going to go bad, it's going to go bad. I was just talking to someone the other day, and they said, we've replaced everything in our house now because it's all blown up, one thing after another. It's really hard at that point to say, God, you want something out of this little that I have? Okay, but it's about giving generously. It's not the legalistic tithe in Scripture that we see Jesus affirming. So debt is discouraged in Scripture. If we look at debt, okay, it's not forbidden in Scripture. Some people say you can't have debt. Well, that's not true either. There's Scriptures that say that debt is discouraged because debt is considered a form of slavery, is number 7. Debt is considered a form of slavery. But there's also times that Scripture commands us to loan to other people. So debt can't be entirely bad. It says the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Yet we go into debt. We go into debt for all sorts of things, right? We can all list off our reasons why we're in debt, school loans. Maybe it's just credit cards. Maybe emergency situations have come up. But ideally, we wouldn't be going into debt. But sometimes we get into that cycle. And that's why we need something to help get us out of that cycle. Most Americans are in debt. And of those that have credit card debt, the average credit card debt is over $15,000. in credit card debt. It's pretty hard to think about regifting our resources and regifting our treasure when we're $15,000 in debt. But we're called to give. We're called to regift. We're called to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us and to give generously. And God says that when we are faithful to give, He is faithful to take care of our needs. When we are faithful to give, He is faithful to take care of our needs. In Malachi, He says this, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try me. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight." Put the Lord to the test. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart is giving generously in your situation. Give generously and put the Lord to the test, and you will be amazed at how He provides for you. By giving now, we are storing up treasures in heaven that will last for all eternity. Giving now, we're storing up treasures for heaven that will last for all eternity. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and to not trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up treasure as a good foundation for the future, so they may experience true life. Put the Lord to the test. Put your money where your faith is. If your faith is strong enough, then you will give generously. That's what the Lord has called us to do. Our giving, though, must be done with the right heart. Our giving must be done with the right heart. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And Matthew says, "So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that you have something, someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God." Our heart has to be in the right place. Our heart has to be in the mindset of giving generously to the Lord. And sometimes that looks different in our different situations. Okay? That's what I believe the New Testament teaches. Okay? Sometimes giving hurts in the short term, but the long-term benefits of giving will far exceed any pain that we experience. So we are to regift our time, we are to regift our talent, and we are even to regift our treasure. And so, the so what this week? What next steps do you have for this week? Look at your budget this week and see if you're giving your money to the places that you believe God wants you to be giving it to. And think about how you can give generously, either to the church or to someone in need or to an organization in need, how you can do that generously, even if it's small. How can you give generously with what you have? How can you give generously to those in need? Maybe it's only a dollar. Maybe it's $5. Maybe it's a cup of coffee. Okay? You can give generously no matter what your situation is. Would you pray with me? God, our Father, we just thank You for the gifts that You've given us. We thank You for the ways that You have been generous with us. And I pray that as we talk about regifting our time and regifting our talent and regifting our treasure, God, that we would truly be seeking You out and seeking what does it mean for each one of us to give generously of our time, give generously of our talent, give generously of our treasure. God, really show us this week. Show us how you want us to be living and giving. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.